is Wednesday, June 11th, 2003. We're having a public hearing and work session on federal grant applications, fetal alcohol syndrome. Cindy, you want to get us ready to go?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, at your on the desktop, you should have information regarding the BAM analyst analysis of the fetal alcohol syndrome prevention from the Centers for Disease and Control Prevention, as well as the Rural Access to Emergency Devices grant. Those weren't included in the information that you should have gotten last night, but it is on the table.
Barry and George, who's going to come up and talk and tell us about fetal alcohol syndrome and the reason for the grant?
I'll take that question.
Madam Chair, Barry Cass, Assistant Director, Department of Human Services.
Madam Chair, he did not say for the record.
Oh, got to say for the record.
For the record, that's one ding.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, I feel anonymous enough that it isn't just for the record. I feel like I need to introduce myself.
Well, I will take that under advisement, but for the record.
For the record, Barry Cast. And the fetal alcohol syndrome grant is really a joint effort on the part of the Office of Family Health and the Office of Mental Health and Addiction Services. But the centerpiece of this really is in family health, so Donalda Dodson is here to walk us through the purpose of this grant and what you can expect if you give us permission to apply. For the record.
For the record, I am Donalda Dodson, Administrator for the Office of Family Health. This, we're coming to you for permission to apply for a fetal alcohol syndrome prevention grant that is being made available from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The grant, they are planning to award 3 to 5 grants with the amount of $300,000 to $500,000 per year. We're excited about the opportunity to possibly to submit because last session we had a budget note that directed us as a joint effort to direct efforts at fetal alcohol prevention. We have done some of those things in this interim. We have done some trainings in communities. We've utilized the 9 recognized tribes as a focal point for that because they did have some prevention activities and a prevention coordinator. We've done trainings and consultation, and we would like to be able to continue that, and this grant would allow us to continue to build upon that. In addition to that, since the emphasis is on prenatal and preconceptual prevention, because we do know that fetal alcohol is one of the birth defects that is preventable. If it is not prevented and it does occur, there is no cure. All we can do is treat those symptoms. So it's one of those conditions that we should not have occurring in our society.
What percentage of births are fetal alcohol?
Madam Chair, it is very difficult to identify that. According to our information from our birth certificate, only about 1% of the individuals drink during pregnancy, and we do not have data on how many are diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome. Plus, we do know that children may have the effects of fetal alcohol but not present with the frank characteristics that may be identified at birth, and in fact some of these children are not identified until they get into school at 9, 10, and 12.
Senator?
Of the ones that are identifiable, what would you say the percentage of them in Oregon?
Madam Chair, Senator Carter, when we were looking at doing this in the interim, we had identified about 40, we thought about 40 cases, but then that is very weak data, because then we went back to look at that this year and said, where did we find that? So I wouldn't say that that's very strong. The one thing that we do know from the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, it's called PRAMS, we have, and this survey is done on women who have delivered, and we survey about 1,000 women a year. According to that survey, about 33% of women drink before pregnancy, And about 16% of those women identified binge drinking, which is five drinks or more at one setting. Now, from that information, it does identify that when they know that they're pregnant and 3 months before they deliver, those percentages go down dramatically. The other thing we also know about fetal alcohol syndrome is that we don't know very much about it. We do know that some individuals can binge and not have the effects of fetal alcohol on an infant. Some can drink just a little and may display those symptoms. So our hope with this grant would be to increase community awareness that to drink while pregnant is not a good thing.
Have you worked much with Emmanuel Hospital? Because I know Emmanuel Hospital had been doing some work in this area. I don't know whether it was just fetal alcohol or whether it was drug children, alcohol and drug treatment. And so I'm just wondering, and number one, number two, have we been doing any work with indigenous communities that that we know that have had high incidences of alcohol?
Madam Chair, Senator Carter, with Emmanuel in the past, we have worked with a pediatrician there, Dolores.
Yeah.
Yes, Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
and with increasing awareness of individuals about the effects of fetal alcohol and the prevention. There is also a program in the Portland schools, Diana Melbourne, who has a program working with school-aged children on early identification and then subsequent getting those children into treatment. On the second part, on working with indigenous communities, we have worked with our tribal communities, but on this particular grant, we did not want it to focus on tribal or people of color. We feel that this is a societal issue and didn't want people to get misdirected in what they were thinking about as far as where the population should be that we would be concentrating on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does. Thank you.
Representative Bates.
Just a couple of comments that might in some way educate us and help us a bit. I was surprised to learn over the last 10 to 12 years that fetal alcohol syndrome was as real as it was and as common as it was, something we hadn't seen before. And we knew we had children who had been damaged, but we didn't know how. Also surprised to find that, amazingly, a lot of the other drugs that are used during pregnancy, amphetamines, cocaine, and heroin, seem to have less lasting effects than fetal alcohol does. And most of those kids can physically recover if they're put in the right environment. So you have a chance with those children to help them out. The effects of fetal alcohol syndrome are permanent. And what we don't know yet is why there's this gradation in it. You can see severe cases from people who obviously have been alcoholic all through their pregnancy, and yet the next patient will show minor changes in comparison. And you'll have cases in which the woman drank moderately during pregnancy and have severe symptoms, but there's no question that that's what's happening. The other question we have to ask ourselves, and this is what this study will go to, is how do you get to the women who are in early pregnancy, which is the most susceptible time for alcohol to have its effect, and don't know they're pregnant? And that's a real common problem also. So it's a real educational job for the entire population that women who are in the childbearing ages and have a possibility of getting or being pregnant should not drink at all. And that's a societal change. It's going to be very hard. And that's what this, I hope the study will go to.
Good. Madam Chair, Representative Bates, thank you. That's exactly some of our concerns. One of the things we've also identified is that connection between the perinatal or prenatal provider. So we're hoping to, should we be able to do this grant, be able to coordinate this with some activities that are currently going on with our maternity case management and with smoke-free mothers programs, where we're doing similar kinds of messaging, avoid smoking while pregnant. It's easy to say avoid smoking and alcohol. We're also have talked about and looked at some of the campaigns we have on promoting folic acid utilization during childbearing years, saying it's very easy to say, you know, take your folic acid during childbearing years. If you're planning pregnancy, do not consume alcohol. So utilizing some of the current mechanisms that we have in place and adding this component to that, which we think will make it easier for us to infiltrate the community and to change some of the community norms.
Mr. Naughton.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. We are recommending that you approve this request.
Cindy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends approval of this request.
Any further questions? Senator Carter.
Madam Chair, I was just prepared to give you a motion.
Senator Carter moves.
Madam Chair, I move that the accept LFO recommendations to approve the request for fetal alcohol syndrome investigation.
Senator Carter moves that we send recommendations to the full committee on the fetal alcohol grant application, and I understand probably with the provision that if they should get the grant, that they're to come back to the emergency board for their expenditure limitation and position authority approval. We do have.
Okay.
Yeah, we're cooking over here. Representing Wesley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps George and Cindy could explain at least what appears to me to be a discrepancy in the BAM report authorizing application for $250,000 and the LFO report, which indicates seeking funding for $300,000.
You're looking at the wrong one.
I'm at the wrong one?
Yes, you are. That's the first time you've been wrong since you've been back.
You know,
oh, God.
That is true, Madam.
Please, please.
Well, I withdraw the question.
Would you withdraw the question? Because it says request authorization to apply for a grant.
I'm on the right.
You're on the right page
the
now? Okay.
I'm no anyway, but, you know.
I'm just glad I was here to see Representative Westland be wrong once.
There you go.
I'm being kind. Are there any objections now that we have corrected Representative Westland? Hearing none. You want to carry it on, Mr. Senator.
Did you actually record me as a no on that?
Oh, you
no.
Are you a no, Westland?
I am not a no.
We didn't do that.
All right.
We know where you stand.
Well, maybe, but I am not a no.
You know, seriously, and that was interesting to note that Representative Bates, the commentary of the distinction between the drug use and its effect on newborns and the alcohol issue.
I don't think
the public, because I think that the public thinks that there is a more dramatic and lasting implication for the drug infected child, because when you see those clips and you look at the withdrawal and what's happening with the withdrawal of the infant, it's rather traumatic and shocking. So that was a piece of information that I'm...
It appears on information we have right now that a lot of those effects can be overcome and these kids can be salvaged, which is really important. Mm-hmm. But and the idea that 25 years ago, I tell a patient, you can have a glass of wine every day, it doesn't matter. That I can't, the information just wasn't there, and I'm shocked now looking back that we all told our patients that.
The next grant application is Rural Access to Emergency Devices, and we have with us the Gail Shipley is sitting there with Barry Cass and Naughton, so welcome. We hope that you make a lot of phraseology errors today, as well as acronyms.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I am Gail Shibley, the administrator in the Office of Public Health Systems, Department of Human Services. I'm tempted, frankly, to either use acronyms because I can, for some reason, I keep stumbling over the word defibrillators, much less ventricular defibrillators, but I can also call them zappers. This actually is a terrific...
You qualify for some money.
I think
zappers get you off the hook there. I don't think so.
I'm very, very pleased to have an opportunity to bring before this subcommittee an opportunity for us to get some federal dollars to provide these very important automatic external defibrillators to eligible rural areas throughout the state. This is a relatively new national grant program that was piloted during this last federal fiscal year and has been not only a tremendous success and a tremendous help, but it has really shown the need for these kinds of devices and the training for these kinds of devices throughout the state. And I'm sure I do have some information, including some maps, some dollar charts, and as well as letters of support, which I'd be happy to make available to you.
Would you make it available, please? Thank you.
Madam Chair, we are specifically requesting your approval to apply for this grant. It is a three-year non-competitive continuation grant beginning September of 2003. We have to submit this grant by June 18th. And we expect to know very shortly after the beginning of the federal fiscal year. They have appropriated about $12.5 million for federal fiscal year 2003. And we estimate, therefore, based on this past pilot year, that we could get somewhere around $250,000 each year for each of the next 3 years. Madam Chair, most of Oregonians live in rural and frontier areas. This population, according to our periodic behavior risk survey, is generally older, more obese, and therefore has a higher risk of high blood pressure and tobacco use. All those factors increase their risk of heart attack.
Mississippi, you mentioned obesity, and I probably this doesn't help us get at that problem, does it?
Madam Chair, what this does is provide the specific devices as well as training in the devices and CPR. So imagine.
If we were able to have a prevention of obesity, we probably wouldn't need the defibrillators so as much as we do right now. Is that correct?
Well, Madam Chair, I can follow that train of logic with you. I would defer to my esteemed colleague, the state epidemiologist, Dr. Cohn.
I am not Dr. Cohn, Madam Chair, for the record. That's quite correct. This is not a prevention grant in the same sense that the an effort to target obesity would be a prevention grant. But clearly, if the general physical health of the population were greater, the need for these devices would be reduced but not eliminated, particularly in rural areas.
Well, your chair is raising this because of the recognition that the number one health issue in our society is tobacco. The number two is obesity. And so at some point we're going to have to face and to address that particular issue the same as we did with the tobacco issue. So if we're going to ever get on the preventing boat, I think.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm told by my esteemed boss, Barry Cast, MSW, that there is a separate grant request specifically to deal with obesity. We know that these devices work. And, in fact, in Lane County, a 16-year-old girl who was 7 months pregnant collapsed at her high school. She was not breathing, had no pulse due to a cardiac arrest. She was successfully resuscitated using one of these automatic external defibrillators located on site at her high school. She was revived and 2 months later delivered a healthy baby boy. There was a situation in Rainier, Oregon, and that was actually cited on a national website that I wanted to call your attention to as well. A 33-year-old firefighter was attending a safety officer class. He slumps down in his seat. He's unconscious. He has cardiac arrest. The on-site automatic external defibrillator was used. One shock was delivered, and he was revived.
Taking your money. Rosie is hungry.
Madam Chair, Senator Carter, I'd be happy to help feed Rosie. when the emergency medical services unit arrived 3 minutes later, they found that he was already up and resuscitated and breathing on his own. It's that kind of immediate life-saving intervention that these kinds of devices provide, and that we believe this kind of grant can mean for the people throughout the state, particularly, as I said, this goes to eligible rural counties, or excuse me, areas. I might also lastly point out, included in your packet there is a collection of letters of support and, frankly, already of inquiry. We already have letters from small communities, volunteer fire districts and others saying, please, can we have one of these? Can we get some training? We need some help. We want some attention now. And so I ask for this subcommittee's support so that we can, in fact, respond to them.
Any questions? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Winters. I'm trying to follow the map that's provided.
It's a map of Oregon.
A map of Oregon.
that would be the state of Oregon, Madam Chair.
That was my question. Thank
okay.
you. Knowing the geography of
freshman
part of eastern Oregon, what was the reason that no awards were made to Wallowa County?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, good question. I know that I was not a part of the partnership committee that made those determinations. I know that there was a call that went out during this pilot grant year, and an announcement and invitation. More than 400 requests were received. Part of the packet also includes a two-page list of those organizations and the counties and the number of the devices that were granted to them. And the determination to winnow down, if you will, from more than 400 to 112, I know was I believe based on other opportunities for these devices in nearby locations, and frankly went down as far down the list as they could go. And so we still have about 300 that are, all, you know, that from the previous pilot year before we even send out another request. Specifically, why one area got it and another didn't, Chair Representative Smith, I'd have to get back to you to find out if there was a request in.
That's awesome. Maybe I can ask a fairer question. And I should have rephrased my question. Can you talk about the process that was involved in notifying folks about the potential access to these funds?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Smith. I know that what if we are granted the opportunity to do that, we are planning to follow a refined version of that, and we will send out letters during the month of September. And then there is, according to the requirements of the grant in the Federal Register, a community partnership group that must be formed and determine specific locations and priorities for these devices and the training. During this pilot year, that partnership included the manager for emergency medical services within my department, as well as the Office of Rural Health at Oregon Health Sciences University, and I believe one other location, and I'm looking back here to Mr. Scott Ekblad, who is with the Office of Rural Health at the university, and I believe may know some more specifics.
that all corners of the state are notified and have an opportunity to participate in the application process.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that's clearly the case. You will notice that there are many parts of the state that are left, I think, uncovered or sparsely covered, no question. The need is much greater than our availability at this point. We are just trying to continue to make progress best we can.
Very good.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee of the Department of Administrative Services recommends that you approve this request.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends approval of this request, and with the understanding that DHS will return to the emergency board for any federal funds expenditure limitations at a future meeting.
Representative,
I just want to ask a quick question. How much money is going to be expended in this program for training? Knowing that training for this, we actually gave one of these units to a fifth grade class without any instructions for what it was to be used for, how to use it. The kids figured out in 45 minutes how to use it and what it was for. That's all self-explanatory they are. They're really wonderful machines. So how much are you spending on training?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative Bates, we have begun to rough out some budget line items based on various scenarios and so on. You're absolutely right that these machines, in fact, I was really wanting to bring one with me today.
I think we have one in the building.
We have three in the cap.
At the risk of doing a little show and tell, they actually talk to you and say very clearly, flip this switch, remove the paddles, place here, remove, etc. So you're absolutely right. In terms of the training, there's a tremendous amount of in-kind that is done, and of course it's left up to each agency that receives them. They can contract with the American Heart Association, the American Red Cross. They may have someone certified on staff to do it. It clearly depends upon the specific agency that is requesting them.
The only request I make is the money primarily go for the machines, and that training be absolutely minimal on these because it's so easy. I just hate to see money sucked up in some kind of bureaucratic. We have to have special people training when you really don't need it.
Madam Chair, absolutely. The vast preponderance of these dollars is going to the machines themselves to get them out.
I guess I would like to echo, and as a result of the echoing that when the agency returns, if they receive approval of this grant, to come back and give us the funding distribution of how much is going into purchase of the equipment and what's being used for training, I would concur with the concerns that Representative Bates and others have made. If it's that fifth graders can figure it out, it doesn't seem like we need to have a lot to go into training adults, but although sometimes one wonders.
I was about to say.
I had to clarify that because sometimes we're not as open in our thought process as the younger generation. So.
You're here, Madam Chair, being a mother of one of those.
So maybe we should just let 10-year-olds use them. That might be a more effective way.
I would like to say before we on this, before I ask for an a motion, Gail, I want to thank you because the members here have been asking for more information on these requests when we get them to apply. And so you provided us with some substance, and I thank you. And I think, she used to be where we are, so I think she understands, probably knows some of the questions that we were going to ask and say, did I give them all that I think that they needed to know? But I do want to thank you for it because this panel has asked for more detailed information from individuals when they're requesting dollars from to apply for grants. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, thank you. I, too, would compliment you on the report, but I do have one question. Where are the frontier areas of Oregon? That's a tongue-in-cheek question, by the way.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, actually, there is a definition nationally for parts of the United States with six or fewer residents per square mile. And Oregon is substantially frontier east of the Cascades. There are most of the frontier areas in the country are western United States, but there are even counties, for example, in New York State that are frontier. And it has to do with population density and access to services. So at the Human Services Building, we have these devices on every floor, but if you go out to Wheeler County, you won't find one. So we're trying to fix that disparity between urban and rural.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Winters. Actually, that's an excellent lead into my comment. I fully support this grant application and the effort behind it. I do have a concern, though, when I look at Crook County and I see two of these applications have been made in the community of Prineville and four in Baker County, and yet in Wheeler County, right across the county line, there's none, and in Wallowa County, there's none as well, in Grant County, there's none. And knowing the geography of that area, that concerns me. But with that said, I do support.
That means that they have to apply for another grant and come back and...
Well, it could also mean...
They've got them already.
They've got them already.
If you want to hear one last story, it concerns...
Representative Bates, so that we know who's talking. Representative Bates.
Right. In Wallowa County last summer, Dr. Frank Baumeister was up there, and Joseph, they have a beer festival up there or something?
We're probably.
Okay. And he was having a good time, he said.
And a lady clapped
her hand for and went to cardiac arrest. She was visiting from Portland. Mm-hmm. And they did CPR on her for 45 minutes, mainly because the family was hovering around and they assumed she died, but he went forward with CPR for another 20 or 30 minutes longer. He should have while they were trying to get a defibrillator up there. Finally brought one up, I think, from either Enterprise or LeGrand. It took 45 minutes or an hour to get there.
Wow.
At that point, put it on her just to show the family that she was dead. In fact, she wasn't. They defibbed her. She lived.
Powerful.
Never give up.
You never give up.
Never give up.
Representative Weston, and then I'll get...
This is a small thing, I believe, and I may be in error, but Gail, you indicated there were 105 specific machines that were going to be placed.
Madam Chair, Representative Westland, no. It totally depends on the number of dollars that if we are allowed to compete, are granted by the federal government. And I mentioned the number 112 that have been given out during this first pilot year. I don't recall 105.
Okay. And so this map represents those?
That's correct.
Well, there's only 101.
He's saying they put three in the capital.
Madam Chair, Representative Westland, I appreciate your math. If you look on the following two pages, it lists by organization name and county and then the number of devices.
I was thinking maybe Representative Smith actually got some.
Senator Carter,
I would like to propose an edict that Ben Westland cannot get sick again and go to bed because he comes up with some of the weirdest questions.
Well, he went to all this great trouble to make this fabulous, descriptive, informative map.
You've had too much rest.
Inquiring minds want to know, Senator.
I think it would be, and I'm certain that you will follow up with... Representative Smith on his request, should there be a situation where his counties and the other counties, because I counted those that are sparser, some over on the coast, and you know, it would be our hope that we could probably place some defibrillators in other locations, so that would be much appreciated. I think Representative Westland moves.
I do move, Madam Chair, the granting of the LFO recommendation to approve the grant application with the proviso that they come back to the emergency board for a further description, or to the full committee or the emergency board, depending, for a further description and expenditure authority.
Representative Weston moves the approval of the request to the full committee as stated by Legislative Fiscal with the proviso which they stated that the agency returns to request expenditure limitation. Are there any objections?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sometimes it can be fun, you know.
I don't know. What are we hearing tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the informational meeting on comprehensive neuroscience.
Oh, if you recall, a few weeks ago, we had some individuals who came before us to give us some information on comprehensive neurosciences, and we were not able to hear it. So they'll be back tomorrow at information meeting so that we can be thoroughly briefed and acknowledgeable of some of those issues. And that's all we have for tomorrow. Friday, you get a little vacation. Representative Bates.
Tomorrow, many of the House members will be going to the funeral for Representative Jensen's
grandson.
Mm-hmm. He's in Pendleton. And I think it's right around the time this we're going to be meeting here.
I think so. I can be here, though.
Well, we will not require quorum tomorrow because we will not be taking any action.
Okay.
And I know that Senator Morris has an important engagement tomorrow. But you know your chair who's here all the time and who really makes sure that she's working on your behalf will be here. And I know Senator Carter will be here tomorrow. And I will make certain that the information that they pass out to us, that packets are saved for you, so that you will have that. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.